Hello and welcome to The Family Show. I'm your host, Eleanor Rossman, and joining me this week and every week are Brenda and Randy Lee. And Brenda's really here.
Brenda's really here.
Oh. Back.
Happy. Yay.
Yay. And happy Easter to everyone.
Yes. Happy Easter to you as well. It's good
and
to see you.
Speaking of Easter, we're going to talk about Easter Bible stories that don't make any sense.
That make no sense, right?
Because
I love Bible stories that make no sense. And if you think about the Easter experience of Mary Magdalene, right, it makes no sense in any gospel, but particularly in John 20, makes no sense, right? But here's the cool part. It's only by encountering Mary Magdalene's Easter story that makes no sense that we actually begin to make sense out of Easter, specifically see Easter for what it is, okay?
Okay.
So we tend to think Easter is a day, it's a season, it's a celebration, it's a chance to get candy eggs and sit in church for long periods of time. I think Brenda set a record this year. But anyway, and certainly those are consequences or even signs of Easter. But fundamentally, what Easter is, as Bishop Sr. reminds us in his Easter letter this year, Easter is a choice, right? It's a choice. Hmm. So anyway, It's still dark Sunday morning. Mary Magdalene heads for the tomb. Why?
To anoint Jesus' body.
Right. To prepare Jesus' body for burial, right?
Right.
Please. There is so much messed up with this. First, she's going to a tomb she cannot get into. It's like Frodo setting off to destroy the ring in the fires of Mount Doom, right? It can't be done.
Right.
There is a huge boulder. She can't move in front of the door.
There's soldiers guarding.
That's exactly right. Even if she could move the stone, there are Roman soldiers, guards, who their sole reason for being at the tomb is to make sure that no one goes in or out.
Right.
Right. If their job is to keep the tomb sealed, they're not letting anyone or helping anyone move that stone. Right. Second, the body's already buried.
Right.
Right? And Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, maybe Peter and John, right? They already prepared it for burial. I mean, I know they're men. They were in a hurry, probably didn't do a very good job. However, it's been probably 40 hours since Jesus died. The body is already
decomposed.
Exactly.
Right.
You probably can smell it, literally. I'm not kidding about this. You probably can smell the body literally from a quarter mile away, right? Mary went through all this when her brother Lazarus died, right? She knows, she appreciates all this, right? So here we have Mary. She's getting up before dawn to do an impossible task that's already been done. And even if it hadn't already been done, it's too late to start now anyway, right? Mary gets to within sight of the tomb. Even though it's still dark, she can tell the stone's rolled away. Entrance is open. She does not go in. Wait, I thought she wanted the tomb to be open. But no, she turns back, runs back to the upper room, tells Peter and John that the tomb is open. Peter and John rush to the tomb. What they find also makes no sense,
mm-hmm.
right? There's no body, right? All the burial cloths are still there, right? All but one, however, do not appear to have been moved. How could you get the body out without moving any of the burial cloths, right? The cloth that was over Jesus' face was moved,
yes,
right?
Right.
Right. But it's folded neatly and lying in a corner,
right.
right? Roman soldiers are all gone. If you were stealing a body from the Roman army, would you strip it before stealing it, right?
No, you'd
get out of there.
Grab and go.
Right. Grab and go. If you did, would you take the time to fold the burial cloth?
I don't think so.
Right. You could be killed for trying to steal that body.
And they were professional killers.
That's right. They were good at it. No one would take time to strip and fold anything. Right. Peter and John leave. That at least makes sense, right? You don't want to be around when the soldiers get back. Mary, however, does not leave. She checks out for herself the empty tomb. Not clear why. There's no body. There's nothing to prepare, right? When she does check
She's
out...
She's looking for fingerprints.
That's exactly, Bren.
You know,
exactly
Detective
right.
Mary.
When she does see... Right, Detective Mary. When she does see... go in there to check it out, she sees an angel. Angel asks her why she's crying,
mm-hmm.
right? Mary, at this point, still believes the body was stolen,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I guess she thinks, like you guys were saying, the angel is Celestial PD or whatever show you watch on Thursday, right? Right? She turns around, she grabs someone by the feet. Great thing to random foot grabbing, right? She assumes this person to be the gardener,
right.
asks for the body, turns out to be Jesus, and Jesus tells her, "Whoa, Mary, you need to let go of me. We both have work to do. I need to ascend to my Father, and you need to tell everyone I'm alive and you've seen me."
Mm-hmm.
Right? We look at all this and we ask, why is Mary traveling to a tomb she can't get into? Why does she want to prepare a body for burial that's already buried? Why is she poking around a tomb she knows to be empty, particularly when this could cost her life? And the only answer that I can come up with is dead, alive, risen doesn't matter to her, right? Doesn't matter for her whether it applies to either one of them. Her life is so connected to Christ that even death will not keep them apart. The only thing that puts any distance between Mary and Jesus is his direction and her desire to serve his will. And there's your Easter choice. He promised through his death and resurrection to make all things new.
Mm-hmm.
And he has. You are a new person living in a new kind of world. What will you do with that?
Mm.
Right? Mary chose, no matter what, to connect her life to Christ. As Bishop Sr. put it, will we fashion our new life into his? Will we fashion our new life into his? And that's the choice that Easter poses.
And I think that's the choice of each day, but especially vivid at Easter. You
yeah.
know, if you listen to the whole story again and, you know, it's God is light, the season of light, the darkness is away. But every day, are you going to choose the light? Are we going to look up or are we going to be stuck on this earth and just do earthly things? We have to get above that natural inclination to be of the earth, you know?
I love how you said that, Brenda. The visual, because I'm a visual learner, is that looking up. Every day we have to look up.
Yeah.
We tend, I tend to look down.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong? What's this?
Yeah.
That's our human, yeah. I guess, nature. And to remind ourselves, and that's what prayer really is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Looking up.
And just that one action, and I'm visual too. I mean, you can look at your, you know, I always make my things to do list every morning. And mm-hmm. it's, you know, 3 pages long. And
right.
then it's like you're, but I love to keep, like, right by my thing, I keep a picture of the face of Jesus.
Yeah.
Do I look at that list or do I look and he's like, he's there, he's with me, he's going to help me. And look up.
Yeah. I remember Michael and I went to New York to hear Archbishop Chaput, even though he's Philadelphia, but he was at the Union League and he was given a certain award. I forget what that lecture is, but he was at the podium and he's a wonderful speaker. And behind him were these beautiful images of Jesus, I think that Rembrandt painted. And he said, do we have like pictures of Jesus at home, in our homes, mm-hmm. on display?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, I had a few of them because I went to this, you know, Philadelphia when they had an exposition of those particular Jesus faces. And I did start framing some of the run, but I thought we're so human and we have to be reminded, don't we?
Absolutely.
And that visual reminder.
Even room to room.
Yeah, room to room.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good we should have the crucifix in rooms.
Yep.
I also think there's a picture that speaks to us of Jesus' face, you know?
And I think, just, Brenda, that image of choice and act that you raise, right? Mm-hmm. Choice and act. Because look up, look down, it's a choice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the looking is an act, right? For me, once you see Easter as this choice, not an event, but a choice, everything else in the resurrection story explodes, right? Our lives explode. Easter is not something you flow through like Canyon River Rapids, you know, see you on the other side,
yeah.
right? During Lent, Father Sam Hauser out at St. Margaret Mary's, he described a choice, and this follows up, Brian, with what you were saying, as an action of the intellect. Choice is an action of the intellect. Operative word is action. We need to do something in response to Easter, right?
Yeah.
You can't, and again, just that commitment that I will look up. What's it mean to look up, right? It means to connect, right?
Yeah.
Again, back to Bishop Senior. The choice that I'm making at Easter is I am going to connect and stay connected to the resurrected King.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking before the show about a podcast recently I listened to from Dr. Mark Merivale, who was at Steubenville. I don't know if he still is. Anyway, he talked about how important it is that we need to do something, right? Mm-hmm. Like we talked about, have that face of Jesus. He also said, you know, it's not a bad idea throughout the year, and not just during Lent. And he recommended that we consider Mondays and Fridays, let's just say, no meat, no treats. Mm-hmm. Now, what does that do? Mm-hmm. All right, it's something we offer to God. It also keeps our mind on Him, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not opting for what I feel like whenever I want it.
Right.
And I thought, you know, that might be a nice practice and not just keep it at Lent, you know?
Right.
Well, you know, Brent, or Eleanor, I think that's really cool, getting back to that dynamic of being light, right? And offering things up, making sacrifices, emptying ourselves, right? This Easter, I was struck by a candle only gives light if it allows itself to be consumed.
Hold that thought. We've got to take a break right now, but we'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to The Family Show on Holy Family Radio. Back with The Family Show with Brendan Randy Lee, and we're talking about Easter stories, and we're talking specifically about candles. What were you telling us?
We left off with candles, right? And candles only give light if they allow themselves to be consumed, right? If that's what happens to a candle. You light it, and it disappears because it's being consumed by the flame. It's fuel for the flame, right? And you go, wow, so if I decide to be light like God said I was, then I'll be consumed and there won't be anything left of me. And here's really the interesting thing is when you give yourself to be the light of Christ, you become the candle that is never fully consumed.
Right.
And you know, it's this Easter choice. What am I going to do? It's this visual image of being connected, right? Connected to Christ. And we have the image of Christ, of being connected to Christ, right? You go to John 15, I am the vine, right? You are the branches. In the middle of this quote, it's if because there's a choice. If a man remains in me, if a man chooses to remain in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
And there's that visual, right, Brenda? We're talking about our sons and sons-in-law who are propagators of, I don't know, fruit, vegetables, trees, plants, whatever. That visual, if you cut off the branch, that branch can no longer have life. That loses the connection to life.
There's the choice, right? There's the choice, right? You either remain in me, you either remain connected to me, in which case you are fruitful, Or if anyone does not remain in me, he is like, Eleanor, as you said, a branch that is thrown away and withers,
mm-hmm.
right? And we got to choose. Are we going to be connected? You are a branch. The vine has come for you. Talk about an interesting image.
Yeah.
You're this branch hanging out, and the vine comes up and says, you want to be grafted onto me. But you have to be. You have to choose to be grafted on, right? You think of the creation story, another great story that makes no sense, right? But we're in talking gardens, why not? Right? You think the creation story, God makes Adam and Eve, he puts them in paradise. What do? They mess up, right?
Yeah.
So what does he do? He exiles them. What happens next? They wander around in exile. God doesn't care what happens to them in exile, right? It's exile. They starve, get eaten by beasts, whatever. They messed up. They deserve exile, right? And death is part of the exile package. Meanwhile, God goes back to paradise. He creates better people, puts them in paradise, and they, you know, and life in paradise goes on, right? And of course, both of you are looking at me like I'm nuts.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because that's not what happens, right?
That doesn't sound right.
No, it doesn't sound right. Because that's
going
not
off the rock here.
That's not the creation story. That's not what happened.
Right.
Right. Remember the good shepherd who leaves the 99
mm-hmm.
to save the one who's lost in the forest.
Right.
Isn't that creation and Easter really? God sends Adam and Eve into exile,
mm-hmm.
but then, oddly enough, he goes there with them to keep them safe mm-hmm. and bring them home.
I mean, think about it. He leaves paradise.
Yes.
Why would you ever want to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we ever think about that? We think that he sends us into exile and then he, like, abandons us. But no, he goes with us mm-hmm. into exile,
yeah.
right? The late Father Mark Beard, right? Louisiana, priest down in Louisiana, late Father Mark Beard. And he used to make a point every Easter to say, Judas Iscariot was two words away from being Saint Judas.
Yeah.
And those two words were,
I'm sorry.
That's exactly right. Judas wasn't the only apostle that sinned that night.
Right.
There was a lot of denying
mm-hmm.
and a lot of abandoning going on that night. Judas was only unique because he was the only apostle who chose not to be grafted back onto the vine.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He wouldn't allow his life to reconnect to Christ. Think about it. Judas repented of his
mm-hmm.
sin,
mm-hmm.
but only through himself,
yeah.
not through God,
yeah. mm-hmm.
right? Right. When Judas saw what the Pharisees were doing to Christ,
right.
when he figured out what they planned to do, he gave the money back.
Yeah.
When that didn't
he threw it back at him.
That's
mm-hmm.
exactly right. When that didn't fix the problem, he sought to punish himself.
Yes.
Right? He sought to redeem himself by his own blood.
Yeah. He
right?
said, I'm not redeemable.
Right? I'm gonna use my blood. But what happens to a branch apart from the vine?
Withers.
Right?
And dies.
Yeah. Judas is trying to solve his own self rather than allow Christ to solve him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Think about the woman who touches the hem of Jesus' garment and is healed of 15 years of bleeding, right? She touches the hem of Jesus' garment. She's healed of 15 years of bleeding, right? How is she healed? She touches his garment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what did Jesus allow to do to him in the garden, right? Kiss him.
Yes.
Why?
Yeah.
St. Thomas Aquinas insisted that Judas took communion at the Last Supper, right? Of course he did,
mm-hmm.
right? What's he doing? Jesus dips the bread
yeah.
into the cup of wine. Oh, what's that look
yes,
like, right?
That's it.
Why did Jesus allow Judas to do that, right? Is it because Jesus is desperately trying to connect their lives, bring Judas home?
Yeah.
Right? Jewish friend of mine, a guy's name, Avi Swaffer, right? Avi says, hope is a long-term commitment.
Mm.
And certainly it is for God. Hopefully it is for us too, right? But Christ's hope for Judas never falters, even in the garden, even at the moment of betrayal.
Yeah.
Right? He still hopes for Judas.
Right.
Right? Easter, we're confronted with the greatest foot race in the history of the church, right? Peter and John racing mm-hmm. to the tomb, right? Brenda used to always race me and beat me, and that was because she was a runner and I was whatever I was, right? But anyway, Peter and John racing to tomb. John gets there first, but he doesn't go in.
No.
Peter arrives second, but he goes straight in. Mm-hmm. And I see in that pause, that hesitation in John's part, right? I see that. And who knows why John hesitates at the door. But that hesitation makes me think, for me, how hard it would have been to go in that tomb on Easter Sunday. Because you go in, it changes everything, right? You stay outside the tomb. People ask you, did you go to the tomb? What'd you see? Is he really risen? Right. You can say, yeah, I went, but I didn't go in. It was dark. You probably need to ask somebody who did go in. Right. Could be noncommittal. Right. Do I want to know? Because if you go in, right, you're going to know either way. And if I know,
mm-hmm.
right, won't I need to be all in, either all on the vine or all not on the vine? But if I know, I can't be halfway,
mm-hmm.
right? Another curious dynamic of Easter, right? You got all the apostles, disciples, holy women. They're hunkered down in the upper room. You got the guys who were on the road to Emmaus, Mary Magdalene, some of the other women. They're all insisting that Jesus is
alive.
Alive, right? He's out and about. He's seeing people. But the door to the upper room is still
locked.
Locked. Jesus is all around, they're running around, they got the door locked, right? They're not making it easy for Jesus to visit. Sometimes we want to connect with him, but the door, for whatever reason, we've locked.
The door of our hearts.
That's right. Locked. Lord, I will never be able to forgive or pray, yeah. whatever, fill in the blank.
Yeah.
I know I'll never know peace again. I'll never be with you the way I want to be with you again, right? It's, again, like the woman with the hemorrhage. I will never stop aching, never stop hurting, never stop bleeding. And what do you do with that, right? Sister Mary Grace of the Sisters of Life, before she became a nun, surfer nun, right? She lost her younger sister, her best friend. She prayed for 3 years. My heart is broken. Jesus, you need to put it back together. That was her prayer for 3 years. Finally, third anniversary of her sister's death, and Sister Mary Grace can't even pray that prayer anymore. She's just there, mm. right? She's just, that's all that there, that's, right? And then as she's just there in this silence, in this brokenness, right? This prayer, third anniversary of her sister's death, this prayer envelops her. I want you, God. I want you, God. I want you, God. And then he came, right? And in his love, he came. And she felt, as she put it, she felt Godful.
Mm.
She felt connected fully. I am defined exclusively by God's love for me. I mean, what a powerful thing to be that connected. I am so connected that I am defined exclusively by God's love for me. Every Eucharist is an act expression of God's saving love.
Wow. Worth contemplating there.
That's a choice. Right?
Yeah, it's a choice. That's what just keeps coming back to me is that we have to make that choice. And sometimes, I mean, I think the big part of it is that we have to have that eternal hope, you know, whether it's 3 years or 30 years,
right.
And that trust.
That trust, right.
Trust, it's like, I don't feel anything. I don't get, you know, but that asking
right.
him to come and trusting that he will.
Right.
In his way.
You're real, and I want to connect with you.
Yeah.
Right? The vine will put its, the vine will put the branches back on, but the branches have to choose to come back on the vine.
You have to choose every day.
Yeah.
That's a good point. It's not a one-time choice, is it?
No.
Every day, God gives us opportunities to choose him,
right.
Doesn't he?
Right.
And how do we respond?
Right.
I mean, what a reminder that it's a daily choice, that Easter lasts how many days? 50.
40. Oh, 50, that's right.
If it was a one day and done, it wouldn't last 50 days.
We're out of time, Randy and Brenda. It flies by. But we invite all of our listeners to join us every Friday at 12:30 on AM 720 for The Family Show.
And keep us in your prayers.
For Brendan, Randy Lee, I'm Eleanor Rossman, and we leave you with the beautiful sound of Seasons.